Thankful to be here today. Thankful for the Lord's blessings in my life. That song we sang earlier that I mentioned, He's a constant blessing to us, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and pray just a moment. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we are so thankful that this is your word and that your Holy Spirit, you allow it. It's your plan. It's your pleasure to allow it to guide us and direct us in opening up of your word and to understand it. So, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would guide and direct in everything
yes.
by your Holy Spirit now, both in the delivering and the receiving of your word, God.
Amen.
We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to turn over to Matthew 23, and we want to write a kind of a title on the board, a main focus maybe, and that will be Standards Built by Devotion. This is our burden and the main thrust of the message today. And if I could start off with a summation, because I feel like the Lord would have me to do that, I would say that the title really sums up what we're talking about and includes standards. If we live a life for Christ, there should be standards in our life. We are not just to be sitting here and whatever the world offers to us, taking part in it with nothing. There's no real image of who we are in Christ. We're just whatever the world is becoming, we're becoming that right behind them. Somebody said one time that a Christian, and they are wrong, but in the Christian world, you will see this, that Christians are just a few steps behind the world. That is not how we should live in our lives. You know, we should have some standards that are what they are, regardless of the situation around us. But just as important and more important than it is to have the standards, it should be what are they built by? Where are they built from? Because standards that are not built from devotion to the Lord are not things that are going to help us live for Him the way we should. They're going to be distractions to us. They're going to be things that impede our growth and impede others' growth. But if we have a standard that comes from devotion to the Lord, then that's something that's a blessing, something to be held on to, and something that can actually bless other people's lives. So that's the thrust of the message today. And I want to start over here in Matthew 23. And I'm going to read, honestly, these are to me some of the harshest verses that Jesus, this little passage here, and I don't mean just the verse that I read, but through this whole 23rd chapter, there are some, this is where he just let the religious people of Israel know exactly what they were doing and how they were messing up. And so we want to take this in. You know, if we find ourselves in that place, then maybe God's brought us to a place of repentance today. But I think more take this in as kind of a warning to consider the things Christ was saying and try to let them help us in life not go in the direction that they went, but go in the direction the Lord would have us to go. So this 23rd verse says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So we want to pause at this verse because this is kind of our focus verse. Everything else is going to build off of this a little bit today. And I want to make sure we see what was said here to them. Specifically because Satan's battle, there is a place of a balance, of peace in the Lord, of being right where God wants you to be. And this verse kind of illustrates both of the things that pull in different directions when we start talking about this subject. There's those that they hear the word standard and there's a reaction that is from Satan that wants to put a wall up against that word. That's not of the Lord. There are to be standards in our lives. All right? And there's also a reaction that when they feel like there's a challenge to standards, that they want to grab the standard and cling to it. And that is not of the Lord. That is error, and that will lead us into error. So we don't have to go either way. We can walk right where the Lord wants us in peace, knowing that what we're doing and the things we're doing are for a reason, and they're for the right reason, and they're going to be a blessing in my life. And I want to hold on to them. I want to cling to them. I don't want to see them fade away in my life, because they're things the Lord has given me. It means they're good things for me. There will be a blessing in my life. So I don't want to lose them at all. And this verse says, look, you focused on all these external things, and you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. You should have done these. But then he throws in, not to leave the other undone. So Christ's message never was judgment, mercy, and faith. Don't worry about anything else. There are results from judgment, mercy, and faith in my life. There are absolute results, and some of those results are standards that are exhibited externally in my life by the things I wear, by the places I go, by the things that I allow in my home. There are external examples that come from those standards in my life. Christ said, but they shouldn't have come just because you saw external things and you began to do them. They should have come from you going after, taking in, desiring the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith is where these should have come from. So here's the balance. Christ just gave it to us right there. If we allow these weightier matters to truly have control in our life, they will not leave us in a place where we are not taking care of these other things that are important as well. All right? But he goes on then to show the examples of what happens when we begin to hold external things and fail to allow them to happen in our life because of what's happening inside of us, because of our devotion to the Lord, because of our consecration to Him, because of our passion for Him, for our desire for the weightier matters of the law. That's where they should come from. But when we ignore those things and we're just putting standards in our life, here's what happens. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. There seems to be something here that's a little bit of an error to me. Do you? I think strain at a gnat, I don't really want to strain at a gnat. And honestly, I don't know, I probably would choose to eat a camel. If you told me I had to eat a camel or a gnat, a pile of gnats for the same amount, I would probably eat a camel. So it's not those things. It's the Lord trying to show them something's messed up. You're straining at something little over here, but you're swallowing a huge thing over here that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up in your life. And to sit here and establish external things without the things that matter the most, that's something that's in error. That's something that's just messed up. It should be a warning, a sign to us. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Something doesn't make sense. Why look like this on the outside if this is what's on the inside? Does it add up? No. It's hypocrisy. Amen. Okay? Hypocrisy is the result. It will be the result of clinging to external standards that are not coming from a life devoted to Christ. Right. There will be hypocrisy because external standards, there is a huge work inside of every one of us. An impossible work, a work that is only done by the miracle of salvation and of sanctification in our lives. Of not just a moment, but a daily walk of miracles. It takes more than what we're able to do by external standards to do what needs to be done in our life. All right? We have to have it this way. It has to be established by devotion. If it's not established by devotion, then it will lead to hypocrisy, because I will be putting things out here that I'm not able to really match up to on the inside, and that I'm not able to stand behind because of what's inside of me. cleanse the inside of the cup and the platter. The outside of them may be clean too. Once again, the balance. We are not ignoring the outside. It is a whole picture as a Christian that should come. The devotion to the Lord should lead to external standards in my life that the Lord gives me. And they should be evident, and they should be things that I stand behind, because you poke on that thing, there's a hole. You go all the way into me and you will see it's still there. It's solid. It's a foundation. Wentz told me about some of these foundations they made, and they drill down in the ground and they put a whole column down in the ground. You come on the top of that thing and you go, is anything there? Sure is. You somehow could poke all the way, you'd find concrete way on down. I forget how deep he said some of these columns are. All right? That's how it needs to be inside of us. As God puts something out there, there should be a column behind it in my life where it came from. Somebody pokes, it's not just a little external piece of paper that you poke your finger through and, well, what's behind that? Nothing. Nothing. Think about how you have sometimes when we used to have little, I forget what they called them at school, but one of the things they had was maybe where you could punch through a piece of paper and grab what was on the other side, so to speak, or you throw a ball through the paper. It just breaks and it goes right on through and there's nothing there to stop it. All right? Well, that's not how our life needs to be. There needs to be a column behind that thing that's come in our life because of what God, our devotion to the Lord, has led to. So make clean the outside of the platter make clean the inside of the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I hope you can get a picture of that. That's not how God wants it to be. But that's the result of losing focus on what matters most with the Lord and beginning to maintain the external, because that's what men can see. So we've got to maintain this, but we're going to just let this go on the inside where the real work is done. This is, you know, it's as easy as putting on a shirt. It's as easy as, you know, putting my clothes on, so to speak, in the Lord, to have an external appearance. But to have something behind it takes a real miracle. It takes me dying out to some things in my life. It's not just the miracle. It's the sacrifice that's required in order for that miracle to happen in my life that people begin to ignore. And it leads to this place where you've got a beautiful sepulcher to men's eyes as far as what you can just see externally. But inside is dead man bones. That's not who we're supposed to be in Christ. I'd so much rather have it just in life. I love living. And if my clothes aren't the fanciest clothes and not the nicest things in the world, but I'm alive, I'd trade that most any day for it to be turned around. Just think physically. Would you sacrifice? Would you? I don't want to be, but just to get the picture this morning, physically speaking, would you rather be lying in a casket in the most beautiful clothes in the world, or have a cheap pair, got it at the thrift store, but you're alive? It seems so obvious what the choice should be.
Yes.
Well, why do we treat spiritually any different? Would you rather have the prettiest clothes spiritually but be dead? No hope of heaven? No hope? I mean, none of the hope in life that God gives us. Or would you rather have the hope? And you know what? Externally, things are cleaning up, you know? And I don't mean dirty, but just maybe not the fix. Maybe people don't notice me and notice how spiritual I really am. Maybe they don't see me. Maybe I'm not at the forefront. But you know what? If I'm alive, praise God. And if I'm alive, God will take care. He'll put some beautiful clothes on us, spiritually speaking. He will. All right? And so it says, even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so again, the real message here is we don't want to go down this road. They didn't in a moment get there. It was a pattern in their life. A pattern of things men could see and making those right, but just not having any work on the inside, not pursuing the Lord from the heart, not having a devotion for God, not having that devotion like it talks about. Well, we hear different ones in the scriptures. David's one that comes to mind because of the Psalms. the Psalms are basically, to me, so much of it is just a devotion to the Lord and all, and between the Lord and David wrote a bunch of them. But anyways, this is the pattern that comes from not following the Lord truly, from devotion in our life. It says the evening light, we have a song in number 245, the chorus. I won't pull the book out. I just want to read the chorus to you. It says, "My life, O Lord, I give to thee." This is what God wants.
Yes.
If he truly has this, then everything that needs to be established in life is going to be established. If we truly have our life, "My life, O Lord, I give to thee. O Lamb of God who died for me, I'll serve thee, Lord, thine own to be, my Savior and my God." If I can sing that song wholeheartedly, and I don't mean to physically raise your hand, but in my heart, my hands are raised, and this is who I am, then the Lord will establish everything that needs to happen in my life. And that will involve changes inside of me that will present external standards. And when somebody asks me about them, I don't have to say, "Well, you know, I do this, and because this. I say, "I do this because God showed me to do it. And I love him, and I want to do whatever he tells me. He has my life. So if the Lord tells me to do something, then I'm going to do it in my life. And it's going to be something that is established and doesn't just come and go." All right? So Mark 7. Let's turn there. Mark 7, and we'll start with the first verse. This is the Pharisees having a little issue with the disciples and all. And when we see the word tradition here, I want us to get a hold of what a tradition is. A tradition is a precept. It's a traditionary law. It's something that's been established and then is passed down from generation to generation. It's people doing something and passing it people to people to people to people. That's what traditionary law is, okay? "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." Now, is there any problem with washing your hands before you eat? No, it's a great thing to do. All right. It's a good thing. Is washing your hands before you eat going to make you any stronger in Christ? Is it what's going to help you lay down your life in order for him to be seen through you? It's a good thing to do. It needs to be done. I advise you, we all need to wash our hands before we eat. But there's got to be something deeper than that.
Amen.
In our life to make the changes that need to happen in us. All right? So it says, "For the when they come to market, they except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." Okay, these were not just things they were doing to clean up the environment before they ate. These were what they had attributed as part of their righteousness. All right? It's very important to understand that as we're reading it. Therefore, it's traditionary law. When you don't do this, you're not just getting germs on your food. You're breaking religious law. You're breaking things they assign a spiritual level to these things in life. All right? "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites." Again, when we begin to ignore the inside and we're just holding on to external things, then this is the path that leads to in our life. Hypocrisy. All right? "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." All right? "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." All right? For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother. This honor here speaks of a heart that looks to bless someone. That's the heart. Is there a way I can bless you? Is there a way I can... Honor is a big thing. I have been brought up short many times in my life on this issue because it's deep, because it's affected by my heart. It's affected by things inside of me that I can't just control by something external. There's something inside of me that has to yield to give the honor that God calls me to give. And so this is something that's a harder than just holding that external standard, all right? He says, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, wow. And I'm going to tell you, this is what goes into the mind without us even realizing it. That's a little tough. Let's come up with some way we can pretend we're fulfilling that, but we don't have to quite go that far. That sometimes that makes me make too many sacrifices. That makes me have to stop what I'm doing sometimes and go do this in order to do it. It pulls me back from things that I want to do in life. Therefore, let's come up with something else we can say satisfies that, but we don't have to yield inside. We don't have to make way for the Lord the way that devotion does. If I'm devoted to the Lord, I have to make way for him in my life. I can't just put things up and say, see here, I'm doing this. I have to make way for him down in here. And the things that pull me back from doing what he tells me to do, I can't do that. I have to yield to him. I have to yield that part up in my life. I have to put that on the cross. I have to allow him to have his way. I have to go contrary to what I want to do. This is what devotion to the Lord will lead us in life. All right, but let's come up with something else. And they did. They said, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that's to say a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profitable unto me, he shall be free. Now these words are thrown in here, but this is the concept of what they were doing. Here it is. This is what we can put externally, and we no longer have to worry about the depths that the Lord's trying to mine in our life, because we're going to satisfy it with this manner. And specifically with this saying here, and let's go on and read the rest of it. It says, it is Corban, that is saying, yet by whatsoever thou mightest be profitable of me, and he shall be free, and you shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother. You see what they just did? They eliminated everything God was trying to do in their life by just putting up a standard. Okay, this is what, if whoever comes here, you want to be sure you're okay. You just do this thing and say, you know what? Something comes along and somehow you're profited by me in life. That's great. I'm satisfied. No, you're not. The Lord made it clear here. He meant a lot more by that verse than just some external standard. That this verse was calling us, if there's a need, if there's anything, to be willing to pull back from what we're wanting to do and sacrifice that part of us that would resist this to allow it to happen in our life. It takes devotion to the Lord to do this, okay? And this is where, can you see how a standard so much higher than what man has is established by following the Lord in devotion? Amen. All right? It does not ignore standards in life. It establishes them in a way that they're so much deeper. All right? And it says here there was three things that them going away from devotion to the Lord and beginning to establish their righteousness by external standards, there was three things, three times in this verse he points out what's happened. All right, in this section of verses. Okay, so let's look back for it. It says in the eighth verse, it says, laying aside the commandment of God. Do you know that's what, when we begin to put our faith in external things, and that begins to become who we are, and that's what it's about in our life, that it causes us to lay aside the commandments of God. Well, no. And you're like, all of them? No, I don't. Okay. It's a pattern that you're establishing in your life that you're going to begin to lay aside his commandments. Lay aside parts of them. Well, we're going to do it this way, and that's going to satisfy. You got to. That's not how God works. It takes something deeper, okay? So laying aside the commandment of God. And then it says, down here it says in the ninth verse, it says, full well ye reject the commandment of God. Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay, then don't start living your life by external standards. As God establishes them in your life, never leave this pattern. A devotion to the Lord, allow Him to establish them that way. Because if you leave this pattern, then you're going to end up rejecting the commandments of the Lord. All right? Then it says, down here, and I'm trying to find it right here, there's this point where he says, I'm sorry, I didn't read it yet. 13th verse. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. I would never do that. I'm trying to establish God. Then do it by devotion to the Lord. Because if you try to do it by establishing just external standards in your life and that being what you're about, then you will make the word of God of none effect. Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder. You see what it's doing in our life? It's going in here. And it's doing a work that can't be done any other way. And if you begin to do this as your work in life, then you're going to begin to make the word of God of none effect. Because you are not allowing God to solve the problems. You're trying to do it yourself with the external standards. Therefore, His word can't work in your life the way it needs to. All right? So this is the results of standards built by tradition and conformity to a group and not by devotion to the Lord. As it says there, it says, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I want to look at a gentleman about this issue about the heart. That's what we're really getting down to and talking about this morning. Devotion comes from the heart. If we have devotion to the Lord, then it means we're giving Him our heart to have control of and to lead and guide and direct. All right? But over in 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter, when we do that, we don't want to play around with that. We want to do it with all our might and give the Lord all of our heart. 2 Chronicles, 25th chapter. This is the story of Amaziah. And we'll read a few of these verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But the first verse says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But not with a perfect heart. This takes devotion. Not just giving a piece of me, but giving myself to the Lord completely for this to work. It says, he did that was right, but not with a perfect heart. Then if we drop on down to the 14th or 16th verse, I want to point out, though, we have a great story about Amaziah. Because, you know, get a hold of that. He did what was right to the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, not with a complete heart. And so Amaziah was the one that he was going out to battle, and he hired the Ephraimites. And the Lord told, the prophet come and said, he said, don't take them with you. The Lord is not with them. And that whole passage about, but I've given them all this money, what should I do? He said, the Lord's able to give you much more than that. And so Amaziah said, okay. And he sent them all back. He suffered that consequence and he went out to battle and he won. All right, but look what happened. Didn't do it with a perfect heart. And look what happened immediately when the battle was over, down in the 14th verse. It says, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites. He didn't just win a battle. He won this thing big time. That he brought the gods of the children of Seir. Now, what in the world makes sense about that? God just told him, don't take this whole part of your army. You lost a lot of money. And he was able to listen enough that he went after that. And God gave him a great victory. So it just makes sense, right, to take their gods and bring them back home. It doesn't even make sense. But he was doing what he was doing, not with the perfect heart. He gave it a little bit, but he hadn't really given it wholeheartedly to the Lord. And here's what happened. Something about him he saw and he thought, well, I think I'd like to bring them back. He set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense into them. We think, how foolish. But if we don't come after God with our whole heart, we're just as human as he was. All right? We need to put our whole heart in the Lord's hands. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand? Now, the first time when he came to him and said, send these Ephraimites back, and all that money, that would have been so hard for me to listen to and do. That would have been a struggle. this right here seems like, well, yeah, actually, you know what? That makes so much sense. Why did I do this? But look what happened. It said, it came to pass as the prophet talked to him that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldst thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. And down in the 27th verse of this chapter, it says, now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish and after him and slew him there. And they brought him unto brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. This is not the result that God wants in our life.
No.
But it's the result that happens when we're not coming after him with our whole heart. When what's being established in our life is not being established by devotion to the Lord. All right? He's got things he wants to establish, but it has to come from giving him our heart and pursuing him with all of our heart. Because if we do not give him our complete heart, these are the kind of results that we're going to get in life. And so many times people, like it says in the end, there are people say, but Lord, haven't we done this and this in your name? I never knew you. We want to come after the Lord with our whole heart, with all that we are. It says in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, this is a pretty common verse. I'm going to look at it here. Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Just a simple verse. It's like I see this verse and I see all the rest of the Bible coming out of this verse. It's just one of the, you know, that everything springs from. Keep the heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. The standards do need to be established by a heart that's given to God. By a heart that's searching, yes, what the Lord wants them to do in life, what he calls for them. By a heart that's not holding back in rebellion, saying, well, I don't think you have to do that. God's all about the heart. He's not about standards. Well, is that what his word says? That's the devil trying to get us off. But a heart that says, it's done by his work in me, not by these things that God's doing in my life. It's coming from something deeper that's establishing those things. And so, right here it says that. It says, keep the heart without diligence, proud of the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Oh, see, that's a result of giving my heart to God. That's a standard in my life. Perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Giving my heart to God gives me a direction. It turns me in the right way. It should have results in my life. It should change who I am. All right? Look right on. Let thy line lips look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. See, that's part of the whole heart thing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Yes, no, that's not. Right here after this verse that everything springs from, this famous verse that people want to pull and say, it's all about the heart. Well, look, okay, look what comes right after it. Look what the results of giving your heart to God are. It means that you're going to ponder and think about what you're doing. Think about the path that your feet are taking. There should be a standard. There should be some direction. There should be, yes, some things established. It matters where I walk. If I'm really giving my heart to God, then there should be some consideration to those things coming from that place in my life. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. These are the results of truly letting the Lord have my heart. It establishes standards in my life. All right? It establishes actions. Establishes things that are exhibited externally in my life. So it says in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll start with the 36th verse. It says, this lawyer came to him and said, Master, which is the great commandment of the law, in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said one more thing. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How many times people have maybe used a verse like this to say, it doesn't matter anymore what I do. That's not listening to what God is saying. And that is error from the devil. It matters. If you're going to love the Lord, there are results in your life. There should be external things established for the sake of your soul, for the sake of what the Lord's doing in your life. It says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But you can't establish the law and the prophets any other way. It only comes by devotion to the Lord. You could sit here and try to enact every single thing in this Bible, and if it's not coming from devotion to the Lord, you're going to burn in hell.
Right.
I mean, it's just the end result of that. Hypocrisy and burning in hell. It has to come from devotion to the Lord. You pray for me.